Back with you again this evening. I want to thank everyone for being here tonight. Let me ask you, when you are in trouble, or you have problems, or you're discouraged, and you don't know where to turn, where do you turn? You know, many people will go to their therapist or their psychologist to give them answers, and many times they will pay exorbitant prices to hear in many ways, some bad advice. You know, in the Bible, there is wise counsel and there is unwise counsel that we read about. If you remember in the days of Azariah when he became the king of Judah, he was the son of Jehoram, who was a very wicked king. Azariah became king. Jehoram had married the daughter of Ahab, the king of Israel. She was a very wicked king, Athaliah. And Azariah was the son of Jehoram and Athaliah. And it says in 2 Chronicles 22, beginning with verse 2, that mentioned Azariah. And it says in verse 3, he also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother, that was Athaliah, advised him to do wickedly. Therefore he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors after the death of his father, to his destruction. Wise counsel, but here we have unwise counsel. You remember in 1 Kings chapter 12, when Rehoboam became the king of Judah, or really the king of Israel, after Solomon had died, and the people of Israel came to Rehoboam and requested that he lighten the burden of service that his father Solomon had placed upon them. And so he goes to the elders and asks them advice. And they said, if you will listen to them, and if you will be a servant to them, in other words, give in to them, in other words, lighten that load, then they will serve you. And then he went to the younger men, and the younger men said, well, you just add to their burden. And it says in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 6, then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon. Verse 8, he consulted the young men who had grown up with him. Then the king answered, verse 13, the people roughly and rejected the advice which the elders had given him. And he spoke to them according to the advice of the young men. And we know what happened. The kingdom was divided. Good advice. Bad advice. He gave heed to the bad advice, and there were bad consequences. The kingdom was then divided. Well, where do you go for counsel when you have trouble to get good advice? Well, you know, there is a counselor that we can always trust to give us good counsel. You remember in Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah prophesied concerning the coming Savior, the coming Messiah. And this is one of those prophecies. He says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And Jesus, of course, is the fulfillment of this prophecy. But notice he would be called Wonderful Counselor. And there are probably two names there. I think there may be some translations that do say Wonderful Counselor. But he is wonderful and he is counselor. And that's what I want to talk about this evening. Jesus, our Wonderful Counselor. Now, I'm not opposed to us going to psychologist or therapist or psychiatrist when we have some problems within our lives. I think that some of our depressions and our feelings are chemically based. They're because of chemical imbalances, because of physical problems that we have. And they're the doctors that can give us medication that can help in those areas. And I'm not opposed to that. Not opposed to going to counselors. But I will tell you that if anyone goes to a counselor, and if he's going to help you in advising you in how to deal with your problems, he may help you with some medication. Sometimes I think they're more harmful than good, but sometimes they are helpful. But if you do that, if ever they lead you in a way that's different than the way that the Lord, our Lord, leads us, then they're not good counselors. They're not going to help you. Jesus is the answer to all of our problems, all of them. Look with me at a few passages here in John 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." One of the main points I want to make, I want to tell you here at the very beginning here, is all of our problems, whatever they may be, can be solved. That is, our psychological problems can be solved when we are in a right relationship with our Maker and we know it. When we know that we're in right relationship with God, it doesn't matter what goes on around us. We can have a peace. We can have a joy. And so what the Lord provides for us is a means by which we can be in right relationship with our Maker. And in being in right relationship with our Maker, then we can have a peace in whatever circumstances we have in this life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The only way we can come to the Father and be in fellowship with Him is through Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. It's going to be through Him that we have that relationship. John 10 and verse 10, Jesus says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." You want life, really life now, abundant life now, and in the age to come, everlasting life? Well, Jesus provides that. "I've come," he says, "that you may have life, abundant life." Also in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30, Paul says, "But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." What is Jesus to us? The wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, being in right relationship with him, being set apart the world, dedicated to him, redemption, being freed from the bondage of sin, and finding the freedom that we all enjoy and want to have in Christ. It is available in him. Colossians chapter 2, beginning with verse 8, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power." We can be complete in Christ. When seeking for a counselor today, you must consider, and this is what we do when we seek counselors, we seek his qualifications. We want to know what his qualifications are. We want to know what his methods are to help us. We want to know what his success is. Has he been successful in helping people in need? And what are his charges? You know, how much is it going to cost? Well, in this lesson, I want to consider the qualifications, the methods, the successes, and the charges of our wonderful counselor. And that is the qualifications, methods, and successes and charges of Jesus Christ. Well, let's first talk about his qualifications. What are the qualifications of our wonderful counselor? Well, first of all, Jesus knows us. You remember when he was here upon the earth, it says in John chapter 2, and by the way, I don't have any of the other passages up on the screen, so I encourage you to turn with me. We'll be making just reference to some. We'll be turning to some, but I encourage you to turn with me in your Bibles. But here in John chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, it says, "But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men, and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man." So he, even while he was here upon the earth, knew what men were thinking. He knew what was in man. And he knows us today. He knows us better than we know ourselves. You remember, if you were in our Zoom study Wednesday night, we talked about the letters to the seven churches in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. And in all of those letters, Jesus would say, I know your works. And you remember, we made reference to in chapter 1, verse 14, when it mentions that John, having heard a voice, and he turned to see the voice, and he saw one like unto the Son of Man, but he gives a description of him, and it's not really giving an actual physical description of Jesus, but it's describing the qualities of Jesus. And in verse 14 of Revelation 1, it says, his head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His eyes like a flame of fire. In other words, his eyes are able to penetrate into the hearts and lives of every individual. His eyes were able to penetrate into the lives of every church. And so he would know, he knew exactly the condition of these churches because he knows them. He knows you better than yourself. He knows exactly what is going on inside you. You know, I am sometimes suspicious of men who come to me because I don't know their motives. I don't know why they're doing what they're doing sometimes. However, Jesus knows exactly what man is thinking, and what his motives are, and what his true spiritual condition is. He knows man and knows what man needs. He knows exactly what I need. Also, he has all wisdom. Look back again at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 30 and 31. Paul says, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. He is wisdom from God. You know, therapists and psychologists today claim to be wise and knowledgeable and to give good advice. And they've learned a lot what they have learned from what they have gained from their professors and colleges. And some of that is good. Some of that, I believe, comes from the Bible and can be helpful. But Jesus, you see, is the epitome of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and good counsel. He is the one that has the infinite wisdom of God in him. Therapist many times gives us the wisdom of men. Jesus gives us the wisdom of God. And also, he loves us. In Ephesians chapter 1, we're told to love as he loved. But notice how his love is described there in verses 1 and 2 of Ephesians 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. He gave himself up for us. Look over in John chapter 10, and I don't have this up on the screen, but in John chapter 10, and in verse 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Look over in John 15, verses 12 and 13. John 15, verses 12 and 13. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his one's life for his friends. That's what Jesus did. He gave his life for you. He gave his life for me. Therapists today may not care for me. They may only care for my money. That's possible. I may not know that. But I need to realize that a therapist may not really care what is best for me. But I can always be assured that Jesus truly cares for me. And I need to understand, too, that his commandments are for my good, that his wisdom that he's given us in his word is for our good. It's in order to help us in this life. That's where we gain his wisdom, is from the word that he has given to us. Even the law of Moses was given to the children of Israel for their good always, it says in the book of Deuteronomy. And the law that we're under today, the law of Christ, is for our good always. And so what we have is Jesus loves us, he cares for us, and he is going to provide us with the things that are for our good. And also, he has experience. He knows what we've been through because he's partaken of flesh and blood. Philippians 2 verses 5 and 8. He became a man. And look over in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 2. And beginning with verse 14, it says, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted." So Jesus was tempted like we are. He's experienced what we have experienced. He's gone through problems that we have gone through. And he knows exactly how we feel. Look in chapter 4 and in verse 15. "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin." He can empathize and sympathize with us in the problems that we experience. And that's our counselor. And wouldn't you like to have a counselor like that who knows you in and out? He knows you better than you know yourself. He has all wisdom and has given his wisdom to us. He loves us more than we can imagine. He gave his life for us, and he knows how we feel. He's experienced what we have gone through. That's our wonderful counselor. What about his methods that he uses in order to help us? Well, he encourages us to talk. He encourages us to pray, to talk to God. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul says, "In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Then he says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." In nothing be anxious. Now this is the problems we have. It's the things that cause anxiety in life. But he says, don't be anxious. Paul says, in nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now let me say, and we all know this, only way this is going to work is for me to believe all of this. To believe that God is going to listen. It's to believe that Jesus is real and that he is my counselor and he knows what I'm going through in life. And he has all of these qualifications. And I believe that when I go to God in prayer, he's going to listen. And what the Lord is telling us here through Paul, here in Philippians 4 and verse 6, that the cure for anxiety and worry in life is to go to God about this. "In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Now, of course, and we'll talk more about this, he instructs us to do certain things, for us to do what we can for ourselves, but he also says that as you are serving me, I'm going to be with you, and you can come to me, and I will be there to help you. And when I know that, then the peace of God, that is the peace that God provides, that surpasses all understanding, will guard my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. It will guard my heart from anxiety and frustration. And that's what the Lord provides for us, is to talk to him, to talk to God. You remember in Luke chapter 11, after he'd given the model prayer, the disciples had asked him, "Teach us to pray." And he gives the model prayer. And then he gives this parable, the parable of the persistent friend. You remember there was a friend had come to his house and he was needing some food, needing something to present to that friend. And so he goes to another friend and knocks on his door. And the friend is already in bed, and he wants three loaves to be given to him. And the friend says, I'm in bed with my children, and I can't get up. And evidently this man continues to knock and persist. And Jesus says, the man, not because he's his friend, will get up and give him the loaves, but because of his persistence. And then Jesus says, after that parable, he says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened unto you. What is he telling us? He's saying, you just be persistent in your prayer to God. And God's there listening. God will then respond. But as we do that, we're showing our faith. We are acting upon what we truly believe, and that is a God is there who will listen. And I will continue to show my faith by continuing to pray, and God will be there with us. And we know that he will listen and that he will respond. Look with me in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. We know that he listens, and we know that he will respond. And the Lord encourages us to do that. And that helps us. He also provides for self-examination. The Lord wants us to examine ourselves so that we can see the areas in our life where we need to change to make things better. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and in verse 5. Paul says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? In order for me to know whether Jesus Christ is in me or whether I'm disqualified or reprobate is going to be as a result of self-examination, as I then examine myself. Well, how do I go about examining myself? Well, the way we go about examining ourselves is to compare our life with the wisdom of God. Compare what we're doing in life, the way we think, the decisions that we make, with what God has said in his word, what our Lord has said within his word. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, Paul says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Scripture, all scripture is given and is profitable for doctrine, that's teaching, for reproof. Reproof means to bring to light, the areas of where I need to change. It shows the sins within my life. It will reprove me. It's also profitable for correction. It will correct me, show me where I need to change, how to change. It gives me instruction in righteousness so that I can know how to be righteous, to be freed from my sin, so that I can be in right relationship with God, so that I know how to practice righteousness. That's what the scriptures will do for me. So I want to do that. And so I examine myself. I take inventory of my life. And I realize I'm failing here. And I then make changes. And so the Lord provides for that. You remember in James chapter 1, where James is emphasizing how that we are not just to be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. James chapter 1, he had said in verse 21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. And then he says in verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So we're to receive this word. It needs to be implanted within the heart. But I'm not just to be a hearer. I need to be a doer of the word. Verse 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So a person that looks in a mirror, what does he see? Well, he sees himself as he really is. He sees the flaws in his appearance. If there's a smudge on his face, he'll see that. If his hair is tasseled and all messed up, he'll see that. Now, most of the time, we don't go away and forget what kind of man we are. Since we're concerned about acceptable appearance before our fellow man, we're going to wipe off that smudge. We're going to comb our hair. We're going to do what it takes in order that we might conform to what is acceptable. Well, the Word of God is that mirror, you see. When we look into the perfect law of liberty, what do we see? We see ourselves as we really are. We're examining ourselves. Now, what are we going to do with it when we see that smudge on our face, when we see the areas where we need to make changes? We can go away and forget what kind of man we are and not make the changes, and there will be no blessing there. But if we'll be a doer of the word and we make the changes, then we'll be blessed, the Lord says here through James, in our deeds and the things that we do as we obey. And the Lord provides for that. Gives us his wisdom. Gives us, here's what's best for you. And then he calls upon us to apply that into our lives. And that's what's good for us. What's helpful. You know, many therapists will tell you there is no absolute standard. They'll tell you, follow your heart. Do whatever makes you feel good. That's the counsel that they're going to give you. And find some way in which you can feel good about that. But that's only going to lead you into more and more misery in this life. Well, he also advises and counsels. Jeremiah 10 verse 23 says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. We need guidance. We cannot just follow our heart. Proverbs 14 verse 12 says, For there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. We need help. Every one of us needs help. And if anybody's going to be a counselor, a human therapist, a counselor here, they're going to have to lead me to God's word. That's how they're going to help me. They need to lead me to Jesus and to his wisdom, to his word. All scripture that is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You know, Jesus' counsel and advice will convict us of sin. It's not always pleasant when we examine ourselves. But that's the reason that the Spirit came. That's the reason that he revealed this word. Matter of fact, in John 16, when Jesus told him that the Spirit of truth would come, in John 16 verse 8, says that he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And so the word of God that was revealed by the Spirit does convict me of the areas in my life and where I need to change. But the wonderful thing about that is I can know where I need to change. And I can repent. And that's what the Lord calls upon us to do. And over again, where he tells us, repent, repent. You remember in Acts chapter 3 verse 19, Peter told the Jews, Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. My mic just, we'll use this one here. Repent and be converted. Change, conversion. Turn around. Turn away from your sin and turn to the Lord, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. That's how the times of refreshing, where the joy, the assurance of salvation, the hope of eternal life, knowing that I'm in right relationship with God, that's how it comes, is as I learn of my sins and I repent, I am converted. And that's what needs to be done. You know, the therapist today will make you feel good about yourself. They will not give you any words of condemnation. They do not want you to feel guilty. The words wrong and sin are eliminated from their vocabulary. They may even put the blame on someone else for your problems. They may say something like, your problems are because of the way your parents raised you, or because of a previous traumatic experience within your life. In other words, it's not your fault, it's what somebody else has done. And I'm not saying that what you've experienced or what we've experienced in life does not have a bearing upon my emotional state now. I mean, I'm not saying that there's no factor in how I was raised or what others have done that doesn't have a bearing on me. But how do I deal with that? I don't deal with that by saying, well, it's not my fault being angry with everybody else because of what they have done. That's not the solution. The solution to the problem is, okay, what am I going to do about it? I've got a counselor who will help solve my problem. To help me get through this. And I'm going to look to him and I'm going to apply his will, his wisdom in my life. I'm going to find the peace and joy that he provides as he makes provision for me to be forgiven of my sins, to be in right relationship with my maker, that gives me the hope of eternal life and that will help me to deal with whatever problems I may experience in this life. That's how I can have peace. And so that's the methods that he provides for me. If I will put that into practice throughout my life, making the changes I need to make as I take inventory of my life, then that's how I can have peace in the midst of problems. What about his successes? Well, there are no failures for all who apply the treatment. Everybody who applies the treatment of our Lord will find success, will find the peace, will find solutions to his problems. You remember in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, those who gladly received his word were baptized, and there were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. And he goes on to say there in Acts 2, in verse 46, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with singleness and gladness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Gladness, simplicity of heart, praising God. People who had, prior to this, were filled with guilt, but they found peace. And as you go through the book of Acts, as we did last week, as we find the successes, the number of the men came to be about 5,000, and then the disciples were multiplied. As they then came to the Lord Jesus, to this wonderful counselor, they then found that joy and that peace in him. This is what Jesus, our wonderful counselor, promised for anyone who would come to him. You remember in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Rest to our souls. Our souls are burdened with sin. That's the cause of our problems. But we can be free from the burden of sin and find rest. Yes, there's a yoke that we take on, the yoke of Jesus. But he says his burden is light. It's kind of like what John says in 1 John 2. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Why are the commandments of God are not burdensome? Because we are obeying God in love. You know, when you love someone and you are then called upon to serve that person, to do what is for the best interest of that person, it doesn't become really a burden to you. It's something that you choose to do, you want to do, because it's out of love. And so when we come to God and we recognize what he's done for us, and we come to him to receive the blessings that he has promised, the freedom from the burden of sin, to have peace and hope, and he provides that for us. We want to serve him. And it glorifies Him. It pleases Him. It's not a burden. Oh, yes, it's hard. It's difficult. But it is done out of love, and it's done without that burdensome feeling. Do I have to do this grudgingly? No. We do it because we want to do it. Because we know that. And all who apply the treatment, who will come to Him, give their lives to Him, will find success. What about His charges? Well, they're free. Remember what Paul says in Romans 6 and verse 23. He says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a gift. And so what He gives to us is not something He charges us with. Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It's a gift of God. There's nothing we have to do to earn it. Someone might say, "Well, is not obedience required?" Yeah. But you see, this is the treatment. When we apply the treatment, He gives us life. And it costs us nothing. I tell you, we can't earn it. There's nothing we can do to earn life, to earn the abundant life that we have here and in that which is to come. The only way we're going to have it is by the Lord giving it to us, providing it to us by His love. But when we apply the treatment, that is the coming, and that is the obedience, giving our life completely to Him with a loving heart. And that's how we can have that joy and peace in the problems that we experience in life. You know, no one can have the life, peace, joy, and hope that our wonderful Counselor provides without coming to Him and applying His treatment. Now, what about you this evening? Is there anyone here tonight that doesn't have the joy and the peace that the Lord provides? Yeah, we all have problems. And sometimes we have some depressed feelings. And I'm not saying don't go to a counselor that maybe can help you. Maybe help you to apply the will of God to your life. And maybe some medication can help. Nothing wrong with that. And when our bodies become sick, we go to doctors and they will give us medication. And in the same way, sometimes our mind can be sick in the sense of because of physical problems, and medication can help. But what will then bring true peace is by coming to this wonderful Counselor. And it may be you tonight have not been really coming to Jesus to find solutions to your problems. And we encourage you to come to Him tonight. If you're not a Christian, come believing that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Commit your life to Him. Repent of all your sins. Confess your faith and then be baptized in His name for the remission of sins. And if you've done that, but you've fallen away, maybe you're not really showing faith in Him in the way you're living your life, and that's the reason you're struggling, and come back, repent, go to God in prayer, ask Him to forgive you. He will forgive. He's faithful and just to forgive. And then just give your life to Him. And you'll have that peace and joy, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. If you need to come, please come as we stand and sing.